What do? I wake up late, tell the boss I had car trouble, backdate some reports to cover my tracks, take a buddy to lunch, charge it to my business account. Wake up late, backdate some reports, take a buddy to lunch. Lie, cover, deceive. Lie, cover, deceive. Lie, cover, deceive. You think these sins are avoidable? If you ask me, I think they're absolutely necessary.
Good morning. I've never had such an intense opening before, you know? I feel like we need to pray or something. My name's TJ. I am the youth pastor here, and I get the high privilege of opening God's word with you guys this morning. Because I'm a youth pastor, I want to open it up. I want to open it up with a story. But before I tell you this story, I want to give you guys permission. I want to create, because I'm a millennial, I want to create a safe space here. I want to give you guys permission to laugh at me. Not just laugh with me, you can laugh just straight at me as I'm telling you guys this story, and hopefully you will laugh now that I've set it up like that. So, the story contains all three of these elements. 10 years ago, well, just a little under 10 years ago, this will be, I was on my way to get married. I've been married now 10 years, which is awesome. Yes. I was on my way to get married. I was actually within a week of getting married. And for that week before I got married, Britt was up with her family in Port Angeles, where she was from. And I was down in Portland getting our new apartment all set up, right? Our new apartment. We had a tiny little apartment in like the worst part of Portland. But we didn't care because we were living on love. So what I would do during this time, because I was anxious, because I was excited, I would go on long walks at night by myself, and I would pray. It was just kind of what I did. If you guys are going to notice this morning, when I talk, I like to walk. It just helps me get my processing out, and it's the same way when I'm talking to the Lord. If I can go on a walk, I can get all my thoughts out, and it's good, right? So I'm talking to the Lord. I'm excited about what's going to happen in this new life that I'm going to get and all this other stuff. And as I'm walking one night, in the middle of a puddle, like on the side of the road in Portland, there is this blue flashing light, like in the puddle. And I'm getting closer to it, and I'm thinking, why is there a blue flashing light in there? So I reach down and I pick it up, and it's one of those Bluetooth ear devices. One of those Bluetooth ear devices. It was completely submerged in this puddle, but the light was still flashing. And you gotta remember, this is 10 years ago. So this is space age technology that I have just found there. And I look around, Like, where could I return this to? And there's just literally no place. Like, it looks like somebody got tired of it and threw it out their window, right? And so I put it in my pocket and just kind of forget about it, get all my talking and my prayer and all that stuff out, and then I get back to our little apartment. And as I get back, I realize I'm still restless, and I realize also that I feel like I need to do something to celebrate my last week of singleness, right? I need to do something to celebrate my manhood and my singleness. And I gotta do something just to mark the end of that. And so I came up with an idea. I had been, for the last 2 or 3 months leading up to the wedding, Britt and I had been dieting. Britt didn't need to diet, I did need to diet. And there's been very little times in my life when I did not need to be on a diet. So I was on this heavy-duty diet so that we look good in the pictures and so that, you know, the tux fit. But I decided tonight to celebrate my last little bit of being a man. I was going to go out and I was going to break my diet. It's like 10 o'clock at night. The only place that's open is, of course, McDonald's, right? I wasn't picky. I was going to head to McDonald's and I was going to have a feast to mark the end of my single manhood, right? And so, all of a sudden, I, uh, I, uh, I get a call from Britt right before I'm about ready to leave the house to go on my McFeast. And I get a call, and I didn't realize this, but I'd already synced the Bluetooth to my phone, right? So I answer the phone, and I'm like, hello? And I can't hear. I'm like, oh, the blue light is flashing. And so I put this thing on my ear, which has literally just been in a puddle, but I put it into my ear, and all of a sudden, Britt's voice is like in my head. Hello? Hello? You know? Can you hear me? I can hear you. Wow. So I just start to tell her about my day and how I found this space age technology in the middle of the puddle. And maybe that's a sign from the Lord, you know, or something crazy. I don't know what it was, but I also was like, I got to get going because McDonald's closes at 11, or at least it did back then. So but I'm like, the great thing about this new space age technology that I have found, which is currently in my ears, I can drive and I can talk to Britt at the same time. So I get in my car, and I get in it in such a way that you can't hear there, and I start heading towards McDonald's and telling Britt about my day and just sort of having that thing. And then all of a sudden, in the distance, I see the Golden Arches. So I need to get off the phone with Britt. So I say to her, I say, hey, babe, I'm getting really tired, so I think I'm going to go to sleep now. Oh, she, of course, yeah, get your sleep. And then, so I'm pulling into McDonald's. I take that Bluetooth out of my ear. It's still flashing blue. I push it, and the blue light's still flashing. I push it again. The blue light goes off. I set it down. And then I proceed to order the craziest McDonald's meal of all time. I went all out. I mean, this is my last moment, right? And if I'm going to break this diet, I'm going to break it right. So I ordered 3 apple pies. I ordered 2 Big Macs, a large fry, a McFlurry and a shake, and a large Diet Coke. Right? My McFeast was on its way, right? I get to the pay window and I pay, and there's still a couple cars in front of me, and after I'm done paying, all of a sudden that blue light starts flashing again. Britt's calling me back. Well, I got like 2 cars ahead of me. I could figure this out. It'd be weird if I didn't answer it. So I take that Bluetooth and I stick it back in my ear. Hello? Where are you? That's like the worst question that you could ask in this moment. So I'm thinking, trying to come up with something, and all I can think is just to parrot back to her, where are you? TJ? Are you at McDonald's? Where are you? TJ, did you just order 3 apple pies, 2 Big Macs, a large fry, a McFlurry, a shake, and a large Diet Coke? Where are you? This blue light that I had found in the puddle had apparently a function on it. If you push the button twice, it calls back the last number that you just talked to. And she had heard me order my McFeast, right? And I felt so terrible. I just lied to the person I'm going to be spending the rest of my life with. I was just terribly... It was weird how natural it was. And I got just so, just like fed up with myself at this point that I hadn't even received my meal yet. I haven't even gotten the McFeast, and I'd already paid for it. I just drove right by that window, just drove right by. In retrospect, that was probably a really weird moment for the person who was supposed to hand me my food, right? Just kind of see this chubby guy kind of crying and driving on. Like, I can't do this to myself. I tell you that story because today we are talking about lying. Today we are talking about lying. And we're talking about lying because we are starting a new series called Necessary Sins. Necessary Sins. It's come to like my attention and as we are studying and kind of just studying culture, that there are sins that most of us just sort of tolerate. And in the same way, there's sins that we're really concerned about, but it's usually not the sins that we struggle with. The ones that we struggle with, we downplay those ones. And sometimes we take it to that next level of just saying, this sin is necessary for my existence. Obviously, what I'm going to try to say today is that lying is not a necessary sin. It should not be seen as a necessity. And I want to say, my main point today is this. You don't have to lie to kick it. Our main point is brought to you by the rapper Ice Cube today. Actually, the way he said it was, you ain't got to lie to kick it. Now, I'm just not that gangster. So I went with the right way of saying it. And I felt like that's true to you ain't got to lie to kick it. I'm being true to myself here and saying it the way I would say it. You don't have to lie to kick it. We're going to be looking at John chapter 8 today. John chapter 8, if you go open your Bible or your Bible app at this point, and you can just stay there because we're just going to be sitting camping right in John chapter 8 today. I don't have time to go over all of what's going on in John 8, but I want to give you just a quick overview of what's happening there. John chapter 8 starts with a very famous story of the woman who's been caught in adultery. And the Pharisees, who, if you're new to church, they're the kind of the religious thugs, the religious leaders of the day. They bring this woman to Jesus because they're constantly trying to trick and test Jesus because they don't like him. They don't like Jesus. They see him as a threat. So they bring this woman who's been caught in adultery, and they kind of throw this woman before Jesus, and they say to him, the law says that we're supposed to stone this woman. We're supposed to kill this woman right now. What do you say? Jesus looks around and he sees all these people who are angry, kind of a mob, and all of them have stones and kind of just ready to just let this woman have it. And he says, you know, one of the most famous lines ever uttered from Jesus, he who is without sin casts the first stone. And slowly, thump, 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 the rocks, the stones start to hit the floor until there's just this sweet moment with Jesus and this woman. And he looks at her and he says, who is left to accuse you? And she looks around and she sees that the mob is gone, and she says, no one. Jesus looks at her and says, well, then neither do I. Go and sin no more. John 8 starts off with that bang. This crazy, awesome moment of Jesus actually forgiving sins. And that launches him into this very heated discussion with the Pharisees, with the religious leaders of the time. We're going to be spending most of our time inside of that discussion that came directly after the woman who's been caught in adultery has been freed by Jesus. We're going to be spending most of our time talking about that. The big gist of the conversation and the discussion and the argument they have is who has the truth? Because the Pharisees believe that they've got the truth, and Jesus knows that they do not. And he knows for a fact they do not, because he is actually the truth himself. So, right afterwards, we're gonna start right there in John chapter 8, verse 12. And Jesus says this. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. You follow me and you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. What's ultimately happening here is that Jesus is setting up the ultimate contrast. Light and darkness. Light and darkness. If you know your Bible, you know that this is a contrast that is often brought up by Jesus. It's a contrast that's actually brought up by a lot of the New Testament writers as well. Light versus darkness. In a lot of sense, it's kind of good versus bad. But in our context today, it's more in depth than that. It's not just good versus bad. It's truth versus lies. Truth versus lies. And that contrast is a contrast that he's going to keep speaking to. What I want to say to you guys this morning, and what I want to suggest, is this. Lies darken our perspective. Lies darken our perspective. the way in which the Bible is setting up this sort of light versus darkness is in this sort of way right now. That the more truth we tell, the lighter our path gets. The more we can kind of see the nature of our reality, we can actually see what is real. So the more truth we tell, the more truth we actually know. And so in that way, as we lean into truth, the lights kind of turn up. And as the lights turn up, we can know more, we can understand it, we can have a better perspective. On the opposite side of that is the more lies that we live in, and the more lies that we tell, and the more lies that we believe about ourselves, the world gets strangely darker and darker and darker. And the nature of our reality and our society is there's truth, but there's also a lot of lies being told. And there's such a way that we sort of all live in this sort of dimly lit space. And behind the scenes, there's this kind of epic battle going on between light and darkness, between truth and lies, right? And I love that Jesus employs this, and I love that Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, right at the end of the love chapter, you know that chapter that's read at like every wedding? Right at the end of that, he says something really amazing about reality, about the place in which we live. And he says it like this in very poetic language. He says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly." So see what Paul is doing there is he's taking that a step further. Not only can we not see the path, not only is the path kind of dimly lit because of lies versus truth, that why do we look in mirrors? To see ourselves. So the point is, we don't even see ourselves very well in this world. For now, we see as if in a mirror dimly. There was a time in my life when I looked into an actual dimly lit mirror. I was in sixth grade. And I had just gotten into what was cool. I had started paying attention to my hygiene, praise the Lord. I had started to, notice girls, and I noticed what the cool guys were doing, and it became apparent that I needed a new haircut. So I got my dad to take me down to the barber and get something other than what I'd had before. And what I had before, pretty much from the time I was born to that time, was a straight up just flat top. Learned that wasn't that cool anymore, so I started to grow my hair out so that I could do what was cool. And what was cool back when I was in sixth grade was you grow the top of your hair all the way out, like a lot out, and then you shave like the sides really, really, really short, really, really short. And then you take like a pound and a half of just hair gel, and you just slick it straight back, just like straight back slick. That was what was cool when I was in sixth grade, right? And so I'd been doing that for a while. I was getting pretty good at it until one morning I walked into the bathroom and I flipped on the light and did that flash thing, which meant that the bulb was out. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, how am I going to do my hair, right? How am I going to do my hair? Because it's not an option to not like put that gel in this haircut, because if you just go to school with this thing down, you look like one of Sid's toys from Toy Story, you know? And so I was like, oh, what am I going to do? So I run to the kitchen and I find a flashlight, but it's like half dead. And I take it and I put it on the counter, kind of just straight up. And I'm in this room looking at a dimly lit mirror, right? And I grab the gel and I put it in my hair and I get it and I think it looks good. It's good. I think I got it. And I head off to school. And on the way there, got a few funny looks along the way. But it's middle school, so that's kind of a common thing that sort of happens to every middle schooler. And so I get to school, and I'm about ready to cross the street. I can see the school. It's right there. And I'm about to go be with my friends and do stuff. And all of a sudden, the crossing guard, whose job it is to make sure that I get to school safely, looks down at me and kind of smiles, like, kind of laughs to himself. And I'm like, what is this schmo looking at, right? Like, I get it, I'm in middle school, but I'm not a grown man who's a crossing guard, you know? And I'm kind of mad at him for looking at me, and he looks at me and goes, "Hey, son, I'm gonna help you out today," which was a really creepy thing to hear from a grown man at that point. But I gotta tell you that you have a huge gob of hair gel just sitting right at the top of your head right now. Just, I'm not even sure how it's staying there. It's just like a just defying physics right now. And I'm like, no, I don't. All of a sudden, just like I feel it. I'm like, oh no. And I just get it, and it's like slime is coming down from my head. And I'm like, oh no. I throw it on the ground and I run across the street and I get into the bathroom right away. And luckily I'm looking at a mirror that's not dimly lit at this point. And I fix my hair, and tragedy, social tragedy, was not to be for me that day. Because of the truth of the crossing guard, right? And I wasn't even a Christian back then, but I spent every minute of that day thanking God for that crossing guard so that I didn't have to be the kid that came to school with a gob of hair gel in his hair, right? Right? Lies darken our perspective. When we lie and we buy into lies and we buy into big lies, we live in such a way that things get darker and darker and darker. If you feel like your perspective is dark, I would suggest that maybe you start looking internally at the lies that maybe you have told, or the lies that you have believed, or the lies in which you don't even know you've believed, but they're in there. If you feel like your perspective is dark this morning, look into the lies that you have believed. We're going to jump right back into John 8 again. And there's a lot more here inside of this scripture. We're jumping ahead to where the conversations get a little more heated. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Jesus replied, we're skipping forward a little bit. Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. A slave is not a permanent member of a family, but a son is part of a family forever. So, if the Son sets you free, you are truly free." First of all, before I get into this, we just gotta appreciate the beauty of the language here. John 8 is an amazing chapter. It's got amazing stuff. And if you're a person who memorizes scripture, John 8 would be a great chapter just to have in the back of your mind at any moment, because there's some amazing stuff that Jesus says in these moments. But again, just like before, just like with light and darkness, Jesus is setting up a contrast. And it's a contrast which is built around the idea of a free person and the idea of a slave. A free person and the idea of a slave. What I want to suggest to you guys this morning is this: truth leads to freedom, and lies enslave us. Lies enslave us. Have you ever told a lie and then had to keep on telling that lie and then adding lies to it just to keep propagating the same lie over and over and over again? If you have done that, you know what it's like to be enslaved to the untruth, to be a slave to lies. My son Max is 5 years old, and I love him. He's awesome, right? But I'm gonna totally throw him under the bus in this next story. Because that's what pastors do to their kids. The other day, Max has just started kindergarten, right? And one of the things we've been working on with him is lying. His mom picks him up. His mom told me the story later. His mom picks him up from kindergarten. And in this really honest moment in Max's life, he looks up from the back of the car seat, he sees his mom in the mirror, and he says, "Mom, sometimes I tell lies." And I'm sure Britt's thinking, duh, you know, like at this point. "Sometimes I tell lies." And so Britt asked, you know, a good question for a mom to ask, "Buddy, why do you feel like you need to lie?" "Well, sometimes at school, people have things that I don't have, and I want to have those things too, so I just tell them that I have those things." Sometimes I tell a lie because I want people to think that I am not unlike they are. So I tell lies so that people will be my friend. And Britt, you know, being a good mom, says, you know, hey, buddy, you don't have to lie. You know, I think people will like you just the way you are. And then she says, do you know what your dad says about lying? And Max goes, yeah, I know what dad says about lying. Dad says, if you lie, you die. I've never said that before to my son. If there's any mandatory reporters, I do not openly threaten my son. I save those for the quiet times when I'm by myself. Britt goes, no, dad doesn't say that. Luckily, she knew that. You know, dad says, you don't have to lie to kick it. You don't have to lie to kick it, which means you don't have to lie for other people to believe you're cool. In fact, if you keep lying and keep telling people lies about yourself, what ends up happening is people end up not really knowing who you are, Max. And I think that if people knew who you really are, then they would love you and they would love to get to know you. But when you lie, you deny them the privilege. You deny them the joy of getting to know you, which is a great moment for a great mom. But then he says, well, sometimes I lie to my teacher. That's a scary thing for a parent to hear in any given moment. What have you been saying to your teacher? You know? So what have you been telling your teacher? We love Max's kindergarten teacher. Well, sometimes I tell Miss De La Cruz, you know how she loves cats, right? Like, and she has a cat and she talks about her cat all the time. And that she really loves cats. And you know how we had a cat. Backstory. We had a cat. He died in a freak, tragic garage door accident. Different story for a different time. He's been gone for a couple years now. His name was Harold. Sorry if your name is Harold. You know how we had a cat? Well, I've been telling Miss De La Cruz that we still have a cat. And I know that I'm lying to her. Britt goes, well, Max, what happens if I go to parent-teacher conference? I go to parent-teacher conference and your teacher comes up to me and asks me how Harold's doing. Oh, well, if she does that, then what I want you to do is you just need to tell Miss De La Cruz that Harold died 2 hours ago. I love that story because I think that in Max's five-year-old world, it's not so much different than our grown-up world, is it? Sometimes we lie because we want other people to think we have things that we don't. Sometimes we lie because we want other people to think better of us. Sometimes we lie because it's convenient. Sometimes we lie because we're afraid if people really knew who we were, then they could reject us outwardly. And we don't want to be rejected. We don't want to be rejected on that lie. We don't want to be rejected on the truth, so we tell the lie. Truth leads to freedom, and lies enslave us. Are you free? Do you feel enslaved in some ways? Is there moments in your life that you feel like you're living somebody else's life? Do your friends and family know you, like really know you? Or are you constantly having to show them what they should love about you? And you know on a deep level that that very thing of trying to show them what they should love about you is not truly who you are. I believe this. I believe that if you feel entangled in a lie, maybe it's a lie that you've been living for a long time. I believe what the scripture says is true. Who the Son sets free is truly free. And the way to get to that freedom is to tell the truth. Because truth leads to freedom. you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Start telling the truth. Start telling the truth about God. Start telling the truth about yourself. Start telling the truth to your friends and start believing the truth. God wants you to be free in this place. Jump back into John 8 here. Conversation gets heated even more and more and more. And to the point where Jesus looks at the Pharisees and has to condemn them because what they are constantly doing is they're putting heavy burdens on the backs of people, saying that they know God when they really don't know God. They just like to pretend because they want to have the power. They want to have the power. This is not something that's new to religious circles. There's all sorts of people who fake the funk so that people will perceive them as powerful people. And Jesus has to drop the ultimate truth bomb in these moments. Jesus has to drop the ultimate truth bomb. And the ultimate truth bomb is this, that he is not just someone who's telling the truth. He is actually the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And in doing so, he does it really cleverly because he says what all of these religious people would know. He says, I am. I am. And that is, if you go back to Exodus, if you go back there, you'll notice that's the way, that's the ancient way that God identified himself to the people of Israel. So in doing so, he is claiming not only to have access to truth, but to actually be God. And they don't like that. So the rocks that they all dropped in the beginning, they pick back up. And they're wanting to hurl those rocks at Jesus. And as that's happening, Jesus says this to them. For you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do evil things because he does. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he always hated truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he was a liar and the father of lies. This is harsh language. And if you're trying not to be killed by stoning, this is probably what you don't say to these religious folks of the times, to the religious folks of the times. What he's referencing here is the fall that actually happened before the fall of man. We can piece this together with different prophetic literature that's in the Bible, namely Isaiah and Ezekiel, that there was this angel, and his name was Lucifer. And he was one of the greatest of all the angels. He was one of the greatest of all the angels, and he was beautiful by all of the other angels, by all of the other angels' accounts. His name, Lucifer, actually means light, which is incredibly ironic for our discussion today. It means light. And somewhere along the lines, Lucifer started to believe something about himself that wasn't true. He started to lie, but it wasn't to other people. It wasn't to other angels. He started to lie to himself. And the lie that was the original lie that caused the big divide between the angels and the demons and God and Satan is the lie that I am greater than my creator. That's what Lucifer originally told himself. And then he started telling it to other angels, and some of them believed him, and some of them did not believe him. And since that very moment, there has been a war over truth that's been going on in the background and even involving itself in our reality, to the point where Jesus looks at these religious teachers and says, you're not talking about my father, you're talking about the father of lies, and you tell his lies too. Because you've believed lies and you've told lies, right? What I want to suggest is this. The first lie we tell is always to ourselves. The first lie that we tell is always to ourselves. It's a lie of justification. I can't tell the truth because the truth is too hard. I can't tell the truth because the truth is too hard, because the truth hurts people. And if I was really, really honest, I would be just a total jerk all the time. If you guys ever seen the movie Liar, Liar, you know that's the whole premise of that movie. One of Jim Carrey's best movies, but also the premise is terrible. that if we actually told the truth, it just turns us into really, really big jerks. I think that's a lie in and of itself, because truth leads to light and truth leads to freedom. It doesn't lead to unkind words. The first lie we tell is to ourselves. Before we deceive any other people, oftentimes we deceive ourselves. I know this because I work with teenagers, and I've, over the last 10 years, I've seen a lot of teenagers who've ended up in some pretty sketchy situations, and finally their parents figure it out. And then all of a sudden I got parents in my office, and what they always say, I can't believe they lied to me. I can't believe they lied to me. And I said, it's really easy. I almost always say this. It's really easy for them to lie to you because they've already lied to themselves first. They've believed lies about themselves. They've believed lies about this world. And in doing so, they've shaped a narrative in which they're okay with lying. And their perspective is dim. And the chains are all around them. Because as we lie, we lose our perspective and we lose our freedom. Have you been telling yourself lies? Have you deceived yourself inside somewhere deep down? Have you told yourself that there's no God so that your actions do not have consequences? Have you told yourself lies in the way that my best years are behind me and I'm just gonna live out whatever days I got left in my own comfort? Have you told yourself lies in order to protect yourself, protect your power, or sometimes maybe it's just because it's convenient? I want to say that the first place we have to stop deceiving is ourselves. Which brings me back to when we're talking about first lies and the first lies that we're ever told. It brings me back to the first story I ever told you guys about me lying. To be honest, this is a story I tell a lot. I tell a lot. Every chance I get to speak to a new crowd of people, I try to weave this story into it. I try to always put this in one of the stories that I tell before other stories. This summer, I got a chance to speak at a couple different camps, and I always wove this into it. When I interviewed here, it's one of the first stories I told. And I can tell you guys this, it's not easy telling this story. In fact, actually, for as often as I tell the story, I actually don't like telling this story. Because it's fun, and it's fun to laugh. It's really hard to get up in front of a bunch of people and let them know how you've fallen short and let them know how you have lied in your life and how easy it was for you to lie. And I can be honest with you guys, this is not the last lie I ever told. The reason I do that is because I don't want people I speak to buy a lie about the person that's in front of them. I don't want to be a person that stands in front of people and says, hey, just do as I do because I got it all figured out. I want to tell the truth about who I am. And who I am is not a saint. It's a sinner saved by grace. And if I can be honest that I'm a sinner saved by grace, I get the privilege of opening the scriptures, but I don't got it all figured out. And if I'm totally honest, there's sins in my own life that I sometimes deem necessary. But I don't want to do that anymore because I want to turn up the light in my life, and I want to be free and truly free. And I do that because I want you guys to have the courage, because if I can stand up here and say, man, I've fallen short, let me tell you a story when I deceived the most important person in my life, maybe you can have courage too to start speaking truth to the lies that we have told. Start speaking truth to the lies that we've told. But there's a deeper reason that I tell this story. It's not just for your benefit, it's for my benefit. Because I don't wanna buy the lie that I'm greater than my creator. I don't wanna buy the lie that I'm better than I am. And I don't wanna just constantly be telling people how cool I am. Because I wanna tell people from wholeheartedly, I don't got this thing figured out completely. But I'm trying. And I wanna believe that wholeheartedly in my life. One of the best things and worst things about working with teenagers is they can sniff a phony faster than anybody I know. If you try to tell people you're better than you are, they'll know instantly. The best thing you can do is just be honest. The best thing you can do today is to be honest. What if? What if today you started telling the truth? There is sins in this room that have been concealed for years. What if today you talk to that person that you've been lying to and you say, hey, I got stuff. I got things I gotta do. It's gonna be painful. I'm gonna be honest, it'll be painful. But my hope and my belief is if the scriptures are right, that's gonna ultimately lead to freedom in your life. What if today you told the truth about a sin that you've been holding on to for too long? What if today you told the truth to yourself about the way God created you? Yeah, I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I need you, God, in my life. And I've believed lies in my life, and those lies have made my perspective bad. But I don't want to do that anymore. I want to tell myself the truth, and I want you to speak truth. I want you to speak your truth that I am set free indeed because I know your son. What if we as a church, and the church in America, we became a place that told the truth at whatever cost? I believe that would lead to freedom. Freedom that people who didn't know Jesus, they'd walk in here and they would, before we even said Jesus, they would feel him because of the freedom that is in this room. I believe that if we started to tell the truth about who we really are, what we're really struggling with, that we would the chains would be broken and we would be set free. And in doing so, we would light up this world better than we'd light up our Facebooks. What if we believed wholeheartedly what the prophet Ice Cube said? You don't have to lie to kick it. Will you guys pray with me? Jesus, here we are. Even in this moment, you can look into each and every one of our hearts and you know who exactly exists there. There's no pretense there. It's just me and you. And in that place, God, we want to be honest. We want that honesty to spill over into our lives. You say that you are light and that you are freedom and that you are truth. God, more than we can right now, we believe you in those things. And God, I pray that today, each and every one of us would start telling the truth. And in doing so, we would know you and know you well. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.